When Jesus said that if you think a thought, it's the same as having done it, what he did was create a whole new world or a whole new way of looking at life, a whole new way of being. And it's a way of being that we know nothing about. It's a way of being that has total and complete, the possibility of total and complete freedom, and yet it has also the possibility, if you could see, if you don't understand it, it has the possibility of total bondage. If you have thought something, and that is equal to having done that thing, then the flesh part of you says, well, and screw it. Let's go for it all. Let's let nothing be gone. Let nothing be withholden from me. And the spirit side of you, or the spirit side of God, says, if that's what you think, then go ahead and do it. And that freedom of that will scare you to death. But if you have thought something, it's tantamount or it's equal in God's eyes to having done it, because we are spirit. Do you understand that? The law is spirit. We are spirit beings. And the act of thinking something is the act of having done it. That's why these idiots like Tilton and others are close to truth, because they say, if you decree a thing, it shall be done for you. But what they do not understand is that if they decree a thing in their mind, no matter what it is, it's the same as having done it. Or it's the same as having in existence. It's brought... If you decree a thing in your mind, in a fantasy or in a dream or an ambition, it's as though you've done it. Think about that. Now, this is where your religion will be thrown out the window. Because unless your life has been one of constantly pushing the barriers so that you know that there is no more if-onlys, then if somebody tells you what I've just told you, then you're hopeless. Then your mind will condemn yourself and excuse yourself and then condemn yourself and then excuse yourself, and then you'll be locked into this never-ending horseshit called religion. If you have thought something, it's as if you did it. If you have thought something, it's as if you did it. Now dwell on that a minute. In whatever area, in whatever part of life, positive or negative, how many people have you murdered? How many people have you plotted to murder? How many times have you committed suicide? How many times have you committed adultery? How many times have you been a child abuser? How many times have you done the most unspeakable things? If you thought about it, you have done it. Now, where does that leave you? You can't get by with saying, It leaves you shut. It leaves you with your mouth shut up, really. It's bottom line. It leaves you with nothing to say. If you've thought about it, you've done it. If you've thought about it, you've done it. If you've thought about it, you've done it. And then you wonder why. You wonder why that, how can I say it, that the next hour you have no peace. You've just gone out and you've murdered an entire troop in your mind. And then you come back and you say, why aren't I happy? You've just gone out and killed your parents. And then you come back and say, why aren't I happy? Around here, you've gone out and you've conceived of 16,000 ways to slay me, if you're Harry. And then you wonder why you're not happy. Your essence, that thing that makes you you, the electrochemical process and magnetism and electricity of your being says to yourself, if you've thought about it, you've done it.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why you don't have any peace. You've just gone out and you've committed every sin there is in the book without confession, without openness, without reality, without giving, without in secret, all in secret, without repentance fundamentally, and then you wonder why you're not happy. Do you all know what I'm talking about? You are the temple of God. A temple made not with hands. A temple to contain the Holy One of Israel. A temple which contains the God of the universe. Now, what's going on in that temple? Can you see now why the cross is the only thing that's your only hope? Where you can throw yourself on the mercy of the cross and accept your death penalty? But let's talk about one particular thing. The scriptures say over and over and over that they that endure till the end shall be saved. The abiding process is one that, of all other things, of everything else that may take place in your life, the one thing that must take place in order for life to come forth is abiding or enduring. You understand that? I mean, everything else can be covered if you abide. Because abiding or waiting and love are synonymous. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him. The New Testament says, that's the Old Testament, Isaiah. The New Testament says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. Love and wait are synonymous. Do you understand? Because in the waiting, in the abiding, in the enduring, anything and everything can be corrected or molded or taken place. Now, let's go to Luke 22. One simple scripture in verse 28. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations or in my testings. He's talking to his disciples. And he's saying, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations, in my testings. Are you that one that has continued with him? How much of your time that you've physically been here, that in truth you have been mentally gone, that you have quit in your mind? If you are here, here being, you understand? I mean, we got to get back to this. This guy came, that used to work for Tilton. And he came over here and had a big talk with Harry and I. And every other word was, God told him, and God told him to do this, and God said for him to do that, and everything about him was untestable. You understand? That it had no witness. It had no other basis for what he said. And it started, I started to get sick to my stomach. He would say, and Lord said to do this, and Lord said to do that, and Lord told me to do this, and Lord told me to do that. No, he didn't. I mean, even if he did, there had to be some test, there had to be some basis for it. But the saddest part is that the Lord told him to go there for a while, and then the Lord told him to go there and then leave. You understand? It's like the fire got too hot, and then the Lord told him to leave. Well, I want you to understand that the Lord will, once you have found a place of sacrifice, the Lord will never tell you to leave it. Amen. By definition. You understand that? Now, that means not even leaving in your mind for a minute. That means that if you have left in your mind, that is an act that's tantamount to physically leaving. And you are they that have not continued with him in his temptations. I have to tell you a story. I had a public relations company, and most of you have heard this, but maybe you haven't heard this part of it. And a group came to me and wanted me to raise money for them to start a television station and to do the ascertainment surveys for the Federal Communications Commission. So I took the contract. And the group was this organization called Berean Foundation. And it was to start Channel 33 here in Dallas back in 1971. And that's when all this started. And so I entered into a contract with them in May of 1971. And I raised a whole lot of money for them. I raised $380,000, plus got them all kinds of free equipment, did this survey and got the license. And then one night I heard this guy speak. And his name was Norman Grubb. And he was saying these incredible things that I'd never heard before. And I was it was a Christian organization, but I was just doing it for the money. Anyway, long story short, I had a religious experience. I believed everything was wonderful. Everything was hunky-dory. And there was whole bunches of people around me. You understand? There were two huge organizations. One was called Berean International Fellowship, and the other was called Berean Foundation. And there was like 900 people, and it was over there by Love Field, and it was this place at Atlantic Richfield, big buildings and restaurants and schools and colleges and everything. And I was on, 17 days later, I was on the air. I was hosting talk shows. You can tell they didn't have much talent at this place. Even though they had a lot of people, they didn't have any talent. So. But to make a long story short, the station got sold out from under us. That religious organization fell apart, folded in front of our eyes. But I couldn't leave. In fact, I was the only one left on that property. It was the only address I had. Nothing going on. There was no radio station there. There was no television station there. There was no lights. There was no water. There was no power. There was no gas. But it's the only address I had. And somehow I intuited that I had to stay there. I mean, I would have stayed there until they put me in jail. I didn't have any money. We were making, before the thing fell apart, I was making $15 a week. But I stayed at this place. Because somehow, for me, there was a certainty that that was the place at which God demanded my sacrifice, and there was the ground there that I had to fall into. And I had, under threat of law, I could not leave that place. Now, I'd met a lot of people, because now I was on the air for that whole year. And people were coming to me saying, oh, you're crazy, come on, I'll offer you this, you got a good job over here, you can do this, you can do that. But somehow I knew I couldn't leave that place. And I couldn't leave the place. I didn't leave the place until they finally kicked me out. I mean, in other words, I couldn't take the action to leave. Can you understand? And everything in me and everything around me and everything about me and all the friends I had and all the religious people that I knew were all demanding and saying with 1,000 good ideas that I should leave that place. Now I said that to say this. I didn't choose that place. You didn't choose this place. Anybody that would choose this place as a place of sacrifice is an absolute fool. I mean, anybody that would choose to come here is just crazy. I mean, I'm serious. They're dumber than a box of rocks. Anybody that would choose to place themselves under my spiritual authority is really an idiot.
Amen.
But this is the place that God has placed you. And what you have to see is to leave in your mind for a second is tantamount to disaster in the spirit. Now you leave. How do you leave? How do you leave in your mind? You leave in your mind when the sun can go down on your anger. If you're angry at someone, you obviously have left. You're somewhere else. You're in a place of your own choosing. You leave if you're in a state of resentment about somebody. Then you've left. You can't possibly be in the place, the mystical place, in that position. Because the place demands that you're on the cross. You don't have a lot of rights on the cross. If you're angry, you've left the place in your mind. You've quit in your mind. If you feel slighted over any reason, you've quit in your mind. It's the leaving that God is most concerned with. Am I communicating? You've got to finally get this in your skull. There is never any possibility of merit in leaving. You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. Anything, without question, anything that is troubling you about anyone is simply an indicator of a high place activity within you, something going on in your mind. Do you understand that any time you judge someone, by definition, that's the mirror, that's God's way of showing you what you're guilty of? Any time you judge anyone for anything, it's God showing you a picture of your high place activity so you can see what you are guilty of. Now, some of you know Nick, Saki over at Nick's Cafe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nick, he wants to be here so bad, it's just killing him that he can't. And I talked to him yesterday and today, but in talks yesterday, we were talking about education. And he was saying that they had to learn, the reason they had to learn their history so well, he's from Greece, is because, and they had to know every nuance of the historical things that took place in their past, is because at any given moment, one of the countries that surrounds them would be claiming that by some historical precedent that Greece was really theirs. You understand? So the Bulgars are over here, and they're going to claim that Greece is theirs, and the Turks are going to claim it's theirs, and the Albanians are going to claim it's theirs, and the Macedonians are going to claim it's theirs. So in Greek schools, every time you have a history lesson, you take history and then you take it again, so that they are sure that the students know exactly what the battle plan and the battlefield looks like, and who has what rights, and for this, the basic spelling, English, or spelling, language, math, all of those basic things they took, and then they took again, the same course over again, exactly. They took it, and then they took it again. Well, what hit me yesterday when he was telling me that was, I have no right to take you now into a new high place world called the jewels, the gems. There's so damn much that we need to take. There's so many tests that you need to take over again, and there's so many studies that we need to do again, that it would be ludicrous to go into a new one. We'd get wiped out. The Bulgarians would take the land. You understand? So for the time being, we're setting aside the study of the typology of precious jewels and gems. We're returning to basics to prepare us for Passover.
Cool.
Amen. Way
cool.
The first basic of all basics is that in order for there to be a gospel, in order for there to be a religion, in order for there to be a God for you, there has to be a place for your sacrifice. The evidence that this is your place is that this is where you are. And you're here without ever being recruited.
Right.
If someone recruited you, then you probably won't hear anything I'm saying anyway.
So when we were talking to Lillian in Santa Fe, that's her main resistance, is being planted somewhere and enduring. I mean, because that's been her whole bag. Go over here. If you don't like it, go over there. If you don't like it, go over there. If you don't like it, go over there.
Well, it's the Ed syndrome at the restroom.
Which particular restroom syndrome? Which, there's several at work.
Which is it? Which, you don't make it better, I'm going to leave.
It's the us, me, and them. It's the separation. It's they are doing something. You understand?
So we have a problem.
We have a problem. It's them. I am so sick of that as a attitude in this body that I, God help the next one that does it. Do you understand the importance of place? That there, nothing can happen in you without place.
Yeah.
We drove you
again, in order to continue with him in his temptations, the reason time and space exists. Remember, God could have made us be anything. He could have made us, you know, where we didn't, there was no tie to the earth, where we could just be anything. But he made us into such a place, and as, I mean, he made us in such a way that there are two axes. There's time and place. And time and place are where this test must occur. You are here in this time and in this place. Now, it's really rough. I mean, this is the worst news you could ever have. You understand that? To say that you've lost the right without apostasy to pick up and leave, I mean, it's a biggie.
Yeah.
Now, by the same token, I'm going to tell you again tomorrow, the next day, or 5 minutes from now, if there's something left that you feel that you need to do out there, go do it.
Yeah, because in reality, you aren't.
If there's any if-onlys in your mind, you're not here anyway. That's the predicate upon which this whole evening was based, that if you think it in your mind, you've done it. If there's a time or place other than here and now that your mind is dwelling on, then you're not here anyway. You're not abiding. You're not continuing anyway. And time is of no value if you're not in the now.
Yeah.
If you have put yourself into another time and another place by your mind, then this time and this passage of time and the function that is supposed to occur in the economy of God is not doing its thing. You understand?
You've disengaged.
You've disengaged from time. Now, some of you have been here a long time. But in that passage of a long time, you may have been here like 1/1,000,000th of that total. Because in your minds you've been at another. You've fantasized. You've created a different world. You've projected yourself into the future and different things that are all vanity. It's vital that you see that anything in the universe that's keeping you from being here now is your greatest enemy. It cannot be your friend. It doesn't matter whether it's your husband or your wife or your mother or your father, your sister, your brother, yea, your own life also. If there's anything that's keeping you from being here and now, it's your mortal enemy that you must hate. Can you see that? That's what Jesus said. He said, unless you, let's go to Luke 14. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In Wickenburg, when I was home, this guy, his name is Charles Craig. He's a couple years older than I am, but he wants to be here so bad he can't stand it. He wants to work as our advance man. And I told him we didn't have any advance man in that. But he was showing me off. Yeah, right. He was showing me off, and what he was doing is a little gathering at his house, and he was saying, for instance, this scripture that says, if any man hate, it doesn't really mean hate. What it means is that you don't put anything before. Help me out in this. Tell them what it means in the original Greek, Oli. And I said, it means hate. More hate than you've ever dreamed of.
It means
hate.
He,
this was supposed to be a party, and at the end of it, he used the famous line, never invite Oli to a party.
I'm telling you, this dog can talk. It's just been here 5 minutes ago.
But that's the truth. It's so true.
Can you see that all of those things that take you away from here and now are the enemies of faith?
Yeah.
And there are no degrees of enemies. You understand? There's no All the enemies are the same. They have, in fact, all the enemies have the same weight. They have the same power. They have the same degree of difficulty. But our minds like to categorize them. We say there's big enemy over here, and so, you know, what we like to like Brian is here because he's got some problems. I don't even know what his problems are. That's how much I know about it. But somebody said he had some problems, so he's here. But his problems are no greater than Harry's in terms of Harry wanting to be somewhere else in his mind. You understand? There's no degree of problem. Like, there's no degree of sin. There isn't, you know, the idea if you've murdered somebody in your mind, you deserve to be in Huntsville. In truth, in the spirit, you are in Huntsville. Until that is cleared, until you've cast down every imagination and every high place that's exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Do you understand? Then you can walk in what's called emptiness, or blessed are the pure or empty in spirit. You have to empty that crap. You have to flush it so that you can be here and now. Everything in the universe proceeds from thought to word to deed. There's no thing that has ever taken place in the universe that didn't go from thought to word to deed. Do you understand? The thought is the Father, the word is the Son, the deed is the Holy Spirit. That Trinity is in every act of life. The reason you have no power in your life is yours goes from thought to, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. I wonder if it would... Maybe this, no, I can't do that. Your mind is like a house of mirrors with nothing focused, because there's all of these competing things that say, well, I don't know if I should do that, or what if I should think this way, or maybe I shouldn't think that way, or I should do this thing that way. What God wants from your mind is to be pure, not pure like some idiotic Puritan would say it is, but pure meaning empty, that you've pushed the barriers of every possible thought system in your mind, and at the end there's only Jesus, so that you can say, and it'll happen for you, thought, word, deed, whatever you declare a thing, you decree a thing into existence, you call it forth as if you have the power within you by that life which is Christ to call forth whatever it is that you desire. If you'd stop debating about whether or not you have the right to desire it, or whether or not this is the right way to say it, or whether or not your nose is held right, or, you know, all these ludicrous things that you have in your minds that keep you from faith. Thought is the Father. Word is the Son. Deed is the Holy Spirit. Now, get you out of the way. Know that you've been bought with a price. Accept whatever is there is Him, and that process will happen. Now, the purpose of between now and Passover, which is March 30th, what in a little over a month, what we have to do is get rid of the leaven. And the leaven is another word for all of that gunk that's in there in opinions. We have the leaven, the three kinds of leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees, which is the leaven of the hypocrisy. That's not saying exactly what's there. The leaven of the Sadducees, which is, I don't believe that God's going to work here. I believe I'm forsaken in this area. And the leaven of Herod, which is, I see lack. I need something. I promise you, you don't need any more than you have at this moment, at this instant. And let your mind know that. But I want you to concentrate tonight on just this idea of place and see the danger and how easily you leave the place of sacrifice. By anger, by resentment. You understand? By judgment. Can you put yourself into that moment, that critical moment between when something is translated from thought to word? If it could be in you without debate, think of the power that could take place. There must be a single eye. There must be no doubt. There must be no duality, no double-mindedness. No thoughts about the process, no how-tos, no cause and effect, no reward and punishment. It's only the belief that says the thought becomes the word, and the certainty that if it's there, if it's done, that the Holy Spirit will do the deed. I mean, it's so awesome. There's no power in the universe to compare with it. And the bottom line, this is what all religions, this is all this book is about. That you would be clear, and that you would be so clear and so certain that you are in the will of God, that it would be thought, word, and deed with no shadow of turning. Again, you know, you go to religion and the religion tells you to obey God, that you're supposed to do what he says. God says, I don't want you to do what I say. God can create all kinds of things that can do what he says better than you can do what he says. The unique thing about you is you have the capacity to do what he wants you to do without him asking you to do it. And that's what sonship is about. That's what fellowship is about. That's what intimacy is about. And that's what you're here to learn. And you learn by what? You learn by what it isn't. Have you ever, you know, we've gone through this before. Nobody knows what they want to do.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest question to ask somebody. What do you want to do when you... Nobody. I mean, the hell, they have no idea what they want to do. But you have a whole lot of things you know you don't want to do. To say you know what you want to do, you're the biggest liar in the universe. Well, I'm focused. Well, maybe I really don't know that. Yeah. Challenge somebody sometime. Well, ask me. I mean, my life was planned out like a computer program.
No, I don't want to work doctor.
Or be an electrical engineer.
But to rebuild, to redo what you've already seen as vanity, is the dog returning to his own vomit. Just go eat. That's all you're doing is you're going to go eat vomit some more.
No, I'd like the vomit.
Yeah. I want the vomit to be brown this time.
I'd like the vomit with a side of mayo.
But you understand, if you're rebuilding that which God has destroyed in your life, you're just a dog returning to its own vomit. We must see that because we are in union with Christ, that our thoughts are his thoughts, our words are his words, that we speak as the oracle of God.
God, that's tough. That's like all the shitty, stupid stuff you have to say, you know, that you say, this is, yeah, whatever. Those are included, right?
No, those are...
Just checking.
You remember that, what we talked about? You remember when you found out that Jesus wet his pants? Remember that? He crapped in his diaper?
Yeah.
But it was
golden. I mean, think about it. If you think that there's things that you judge, that didn't judge your... I mean, all that means is you haven't reached the age of reason yet. You're still doing the kid stuff. But it's Christ. I mean, Christ was innocent of sin because until he reached the age of 12, it was not imputed to him by the law. Now, that's the same thing with you. Until you, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, there's no sin imputed to you until you know the law. You understand that? So don't worry about that aspect of it. We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, whatever situation I am at present in is precisely the expression of his mind, his present mind, for me right now. That's always true. It's never not true. Therefore, you can never tell someone what to do. You can only tell them who they are. You can only remind them of this. If anybody tells you what to do, you know, they're just trying to create a power base. They want to be a demagogue. Go to Colossians 3. No, go to 2 Corinthians 10. Said that.
I can't either.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, there you have it.
Well.
God gave him that thought.
It's God's mind for me.
Wait a second.
Oh, it's like, I you know. Like this.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, the oracle.
So what did God tell you to do, Harry?
Sure. His mind's a nature.
Excuse your oracle. That's
what God
is. Speaking as the oracle of who?
The oracle is what he was thinking.
I mean, that's right. Do you understand that? But do you understand that the process, I mean, that's a perfect example. Do you understand that the process that would entail, and if we really believe that, the fruit of it would be a body?
Amen.
Okay, now I, Paul, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be so bold against some, to which, anyway. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Did he like sometimes just sort of go off and not know what he was doing?
Just saying, it looks like when I'm with you,
acid or something.
When I'm with you, I try to be nice, but when I'm away from you, I kind of yell at you a lot. Sometimes I like to do that when I'm with you, but.
Then sort of go, oh, excuse me.
The wonderful target.
I digress.
But now he got it back.
Yeah, he's got right. A diagram his sense.
He got it back.
And he said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, he's not talking about the strongholds aren't Iraq's defenses, which some Christian ministers are now saying. I heard a guy on Christian television talking about saying that
they made national news today on National Public Radio. They had a big article about all that weirdness.
All the prophecy. All the interpretation.
Scaring some little children up to death.
A bit. When
I had my television on Sunday morning, I don't know what the preacher's name was, but he was an older guy, Harry, and he had a robe on.
Does he smile like this?
Right here.
That's a great. It was very vaguely.
Do it again, Jackie. No, that's why when he smiles, he smiles at the Crystal Cathedral.
God, you look like Howdy Doody.
Looks like in the Crystal Cathedral.
Robert Shuler.
Yeah.
Oh, that's basically.
No, it was Kennedy.
Oh,
very vaguely.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway, he was saying, you know, everybody, you know, he's talking about the war and everything. Everybody thinks that God is on their side. And he said, how can that be right? How can that be true? And, you know, he based the sermon on that premise. It was really neat because he was saying a lot of the same things that, I mean, his end thing didn't really say the same thing that we do, but he was kind of going in the right direction.
Great. Well, that's the interview that Entertainment Tonight did was with me was about that. About how the ministers are saying.
And you said they're full of poop.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All that is necessary is to see clearly with the single eye of faith. We take it for granted. We simply walk by faith, taking it for granted that He is working and willing in me at any given moment. You understand? It's not that He's working and willing in me so that I should be different than I am. That's not the point. He's working and willing in me at any given moment to be just as I am. The certainty of that will blow you away.
Yeah.
He's causing me to desire His desires. He's causing me to want His wants. He's causing me to see what He sees. He's causing me to hear what He hears. And I rest in that. That's all the gospel is. There's no standard. I cannot meet the standards of these people that talk about, I can't meet Tilton's standards. I mean, serious. I can't meet Criswell's standards. I can't meet the local preacher down the street's standards. I can't meet anybody's standards. But I can know that at any given moment, He is willing and working in me, and I know that by faith. And I rest. And I know that anything else is a lie. It doesn't matter who it's coming from. It doesn't matter if it's coming from here or from anywhere else. Thought, Father. Word, Son. Action, Spirit. Can you see that? Everything in the universe. There's no thing that was ever done without that process. Well, that's enough for tonight. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody, everybody understand perfectly?
Perfect. Sometimes I feel like, you know, like you're hearing that for the first time. You know what I mean? I don't know if I've ever heard as clearly that no matter what you're doing, it's Him willing and working.
Go to Mark 11.
Yeah. I always think if I'm doing certain things, He couldn't be willing to working that in me.
Yeah,
I'm sure
you know, I was thinking as you were saying that, that goes back to the beginning of the evening, which is that is knowing the place. That's the place.
Amen.
That's why it's the place. That's what happens in the place. That's what it looks like in the place. That's what it smells like.
Where are we in Mark?
Mark 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have.
I'm thinking specifically right now, a car.
Well, that's good. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't say anything. Notice it doesn't say whatsoever things you desire if they're in the will of God.
If they're spiritual.
Or if they're spiritual.
The big shiny kettle.
It doesn't. No, but hear me. That's why. That's why these name it, claim it, health and wealth preachers work. That's why it works. It's not the gospel, but it works because this is an eternal law. It doesn't matter if a Buddhist does it or an idiot.
That's an interesting phrase.
Buddhist or an idiot?
I mean, you understand? I mean, that's why I'm not against people claiming miracles and praying for miracles in God's name. Of course I'm not. I'm just against idiots doing it and saying that that's the will of God. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Why? Because it was the thought to the saying, and it, the rest of it is the Spirit's job. And that's a sure bet. You got it?
We had a kind of a neat miracle last night talking to that guy. I've been real sick, and I was getting sick going over there. When I got in there, into this apartment, it was like being in an oxygen tent or something. I had all this energy, and I felt great. And immediately after leaving, the sickness came back, but it was in that time when I really didn't want to be sick. I wasn't sick. It was wild. It felt like a miracle, you know.
Okay. Well, we'll continue on in this vein for a while, okay?